Okay, Ramban, Parshas Dvarim. So there is a Hakdama and a Sefer Dvarim. And the Ramban says that in Sefer Dvarim, you're not going to find repeats of the Parshas or Karbanos, things like that, from the Mishkan, because the Kohanim Mazrizimheim, Kohanim are full of alacrity, and they don't need reminding. But the rest of us need Chazara, and need to be, have Chizik to do the mitzvahs that were said before, so they're repeated. And sometimes it adds some beer to a given mitzvah, so that's another reason it'll be repeated. But there are some mitzvahs in Devarim that are brand new, like Yibum, and Gerushin, and Edim Zomimim, and Motzi Shemra. So he says that, so why weren't those said to the Yotzei Mitzrayim? They were given at Har Sinai, but why weren't they said to Yotzei Mitzrayim? He said perhaps they were only Noeg in Eretz Yisrael, which is interesting. Like he says, even though it has nothing to do with the land, but perhaps there were certain mitzvahs that didn't apply until they got into Israel. From then on, it applied, like the Nesachim. So maybe it's because they didn't apply for some reason. Or perhaps because they weren't common, so it didn't mention it until they had the Nochle Aretz coming. Okay. And he also explains that the reason Devarim starts off with Musar, which the first couple, the first bit of it is Musar, about what the Jews did wrong, is because really Moshe wants to tell them, even with all these sinnings, Hashem didn't wipe you out, you're all still here, and you should know that even in the future, if you sin again, you're still, Hashem's not going to wipe you out. Because people could otherwise just give up hope, and they go, look, you have to be perfect. If you're not perfect, there's no hope for you. And if that's the case, there's no point in even trying. And then people give up on doing mitzvos. And he wants to know that's not the way it is. Hashem is a rachamon, he's mali rachamim. Hashem forgives. And even if we're not perfect, he won't give up on us. And he says that's the pasuk that we say in Tehillim so often, kim chas licha l'man tivarei, that with you is forgiveness so that we should fear you. I mean, what does one have to do with the other? Because if Hashem never forgave, nobody would even bother. Because they'd just say, it's hopeless, it's a hopeless cause, so, there's no point. So therefore, Hashem forgives so that we do the mitzvahs. Okay, next thing, again, I was just giving the highlights here, what seemed to me highlights. And next thing to me I wanted to point out anyway is in Pasuk Vav, that stands out, is what Chorev is. It says, Hashem Elokeinu Dibir Aleinu B'Chorev. Where is Chorev? So, I think most of us assume Chorev and Har Sinai, it's one of the same, just different names from the same place. So Ramban says a little bit different. He says, Chorev is a place near Har Sinai. So that means Har Sinai is the mountain. Midbar Sinai is, like he says, it's like Midbar Har Sinai. It's the Midbar that Har Sinai was in. And there's a place near the mountain called Chorev. That which you'll sometimes find Har Chorev, it just means that near Chorev was this mountain called Har Sinai, but it just means it's nearby. But there was a place called Chorev, and there was a place called Har Sinai, and one was just next to the other. Okay, then we have the more famous pasuk. It says, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef, I'm sorry, Eichaich Eich Esol Avadi Tarchachem Amasachem Berivchem. Moshe says, how can I carry your tircha, your burden, masachem, your burden, and rivchem in your fights? Okay, so the Ramban says something fascinating, that this actually is a remez to the things he mentioned in Yisro, Parshas Yisro, that Moshe was doing for everybody. And that is torchachem, your tircha. The Ramban says that is teaching them Torah. That was a Torah to teach, 3 million people Torah is no simple task. And remember, he's got to teach them everything. It's going to be, everybody has to know it from then. If they don't know in the door of Moshe, when are they going to know it? So he had to be Moser everything to millions of people who were not brought up, exactly in universities. They're brought up in the brick pits. They're brought up, by making pyramids. So teaching 3 million people who were former slaves all the details of everything to make sure everybody knows everything was very difficult. That's Torchachem. Masachem, he says, is Lidro Shilokim, that is to daven for them. That's Masachem, your burden, that is to daven for all of them. As it says, Valtisa ba'adam rino tvila. So that's called Masachem. And then Rivchem is, like sounds, like your fights, your Choshe Mishpat, you're going to the court stuff. So, and those were the things, if you look back in Yisro, where that Moshe was doing for them. He was teaching them the Torah, he was davening for them, and he was the dayan for them. Now, if you look, again, if you look back in Yisro, you'll see these three things. Yisro advises Moshe, Tashma Bekoli, I'll give you advice. Heya Talamu Lelokim. So the Heyei Atal Amu Elokim means you should daven for them, and then the Behizharta Esem Esachukim Esatoros, that you should teach them Torah. But when it comes to Mishpat, it says, you know, get some helpers. And so therefore the Torah tells us here in Tvarim that that is indeed what he did. And it says that they were appointed as judges, not people to daven for them or anything else. It was to be judges. He followed his father-in-law's advice. Rabban also points out that it's interesting that Moshe did not mention Yosef told me to do this. He wasn't Omer, Domer, Hashem, Omer type thing. And he says, maybe he didn't want to say it because of, his anivus. Which, I mean, you can interpret what the Rabban means by that in different ways. What it means, is it Yosef's anivus, his anivus, whatever. And the other thing is that he didn't want to remind everybody that it got her from Yosef because then it would remind him that he married a Isha Kushis, which is interesting. Or perhaps it's because it was really Hashem's advice, because after Yisro said it, he asked Hashem, and Hashem said it. So then, there's no need to mention it. But anyway, as Rashi here, about Tor Chachem and Masa Achem, says something different. Rashi says Tor Chachem is Malami Choye Tor Chanam, that they were just generally a pain. Meaning what? That they would say, when two people would come to court and see the other guy's winning, he'd say, I think we need to add some more judges. And therefore it would be annoying, and it would go on and on forever. So the Rabban says, I don't know what this thing is. What do you mean? You set a court, you have three dayanim, you set your positions, you see the other guy's gonna win, all of a sudden you're Moshe dayanim. You can do that? So the Rabban says, perhaps you can, because as long as you make it now into five, in other words, you usually have the zablas, you have, each side chooses one judge, and those two judges between the two of them choose a third judge, and that's your three judge panel. So let's say instead you had five. Two, and those guys get a fifth. So maybe that's part of Tzedek Tirdof. You're allowed to always go to the better Beis Din. So maybe you can just keep adding, make it a bigger Beis Din. He says, perhaps this is a source for that. I mean, Rashi's quoting a Sefri, so maybe this is the source for that. Okay, then later on, Moshe mentions that he sent out the Meraglim based on the request of, they were, Klal Yisrael requested, and therefore he sent out the Meraglim. And it says, so here he doesn't say their names and how great they were, and you know, like it's in Shlach, it says, he was the head of the Shevet. It just says, that Moshe took 12 guys, one per Shevet. Nothing about them being the Siyam, right? And it is because after they sinned, so he doesn't want to mention them, anything positive about them. Okay, then later on we have that the Meraglim came back with what they said, and it said, they took the Pri Aretz, and they said, Tova Aretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Nosein Lanu, that the Eretz Yisrael is great, and yet you didn't want to go. Love you some lalos. So Rashi says, who said that the Aretz is good? It was Yeshua V'Kalev. Okay, so the Ramban says, if that's the pshat, how's that a Tanya Klal Yisrael? That 12 people go, 2 people come back and say it's a good land, 10 say it's not. So why do you expect Klal Yisrael to be listening to the 2 over the 10? If we're talking about those 2, they're the ones that said the land is good. So what's a Tanya that Klal Yisrael didn't listen to the 2? Okay, so you could think of a lot of answers, but the Ramban says that Rashi, that's not true. It's they all 12 of them said the land was good. Right? That's the Ramban's pshat back in Shlach. All 12 said the land was good. It's just they added, the 10 added a but. But we're not going to be able to conquer it. And then after that was over, they went, after Moshe left, they silently went from 10 to 10 saying it's actually a terrible land. But in front of Moshe, they always said it was good land. So when they said, you said it's a good land, that's what they said publicly. they just said we couldn't conquer it. Okay, then in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes, we have Klal Yisrael comes to Moav. And Hashem says, don't mess with Moav because I've given them this land as Yerusha, Kivnei Leot Nasat Yisrael Yerusha. And then it has some enigmatic Pasuk after that. It says, Ha'emim Lefanim Yashuva. By the way, like FYI, the Emim used to dwell there. And I'm Gadol V'Rav V'Em Karakim, they're very strong. Rifaim Yichashua Apem Kanakim Aman Mikrim Lo Amim. So the Rifaim, the Moabim called them Amim, the very scary people. Who cares? Why is it mentioning that the Amim used to live there and they're really scary people? Okay, the Jews should not attack Moab because Hashem gave it to Moab as Yerusha. And then we just talk about what used to be, who used to live there. So Rashi says, the reason why it mentions the Amim is you might think that the Amim, Amim is Eretz Rephaim, and Hashem gave Eretz Rephaim to Avram. So you might think, therefore, that that's a heter for you to conquer it. The answer is no, it's not, because it was given to Moab. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says it's not, despite the fact that you should have gotten it because it was Moab. It was that of Abraham, of Abram, and it was given to, because of that you should have conquered it, except that it was given to Lot. It's not except. That's why it was given to Lot. It was from Abram, and therefore it was given to Lot, who was related to Abram. So it's not for you, it's for Lot. And the point is that why does Lot get this? It's because it's Hashem. That's why he's telling you how scary they were. Hashem did an ace. Like, they were super scary people. And Hashem did an ace to give it and made it that Moab was able to conquer them. So if Hashem gave it to them as an ace, so then it's not Roy to steal it from them. And it should stay by them. Because obviously Hashem wanted them to have it. And we have the same thing with Esau's land. That they're not allowed to take it from Esau for the same reason. He was from Avram. Hashem gave it as an ace, benace, to Esau. And therefore, Klai Yisrael is not allowed to take it. And he says, Hashem is makbid, Klai Yisrael not to take from Esau, that Hashem gave him a certain Yerusha benace, just like he wouldn't want, just like he'd be makbid on someone who tried to take Eretz Yisrael from us. So anyway, that's the Hemshech. So there's Moab that was given to Bnei Lot because they were part of Esau, part of Avram's family. And then it says that, again, these next psukim after the Amim, and then says, Ubeser Yoshua Achorim, the Fanim Bnei Yisav Yerushim, Vayashmidu Bnei'em, Kasher Asa Yisrael Eretz Yerusha Sosha Nathan Hashem. They were both given it to Menace, and Hashem is makbid on us taking it from them, just like he was makbid on anyone taking Eretz Yisrael from us. Okay, then later on we have a discussion where it talks about Og. That's in Perek Yom HaPasuk Yudalef. It says, Kirak Og Melech HaBashan Nishar Miyasa Rephaim. Of all the Rephaim, when they were attacked, so Ammon destroyed them. Again, there were many lands that the Rephaim had. So this was the part that Ammon went after. So Ammon destroyed the Rephaim, and the one that was left over from them was Og. Hine Arso Eres Barzel. His bed is an iron bed. I'm not sure. Hello, Hebrew Rabbas Bnei Ammon. It is in Rabbas Bnei Ammon. Okay. So I guess I don't know that I ever knew what this meant. What does it mean he had an iron bed? So the Ramban says it means a wooden bed went to hold him. Held him, like he would have crushed through a wooden bed. So he had an iron bed. The way Chazal described how tall he was, he must have had quite the iron bed, and it was quite long. And that bed was stayed captured in Rabbas Bnei Ammon. That is to say, Eretz Rephaim was conquered by Ammon. They had a city called Rabbas Bnei Ammon, which, by the way, incidentally, is the capital of Jordan, Amman, Jordan. That is that. Amman, Jordan is Ammon. It's been called Amman for a reason. It's Ammon. It's always been Ammon. That is Bnei Ammon. Rabbas Bnei Ammon is that city. It's Amman, Jordan. Anyway, so at the time, anyway, there was this huge bed. Maybe some archaeologists can go looking for Og's bed. There was some huge bed hanging in Rabbas Bnei Ammon, so that the Bnei Ammon could show off. Look who we destroyed these Rephaim. Look how big this giant was. He had to sleep in this kind of bed, and we still won. So his metal bed is still in Rabbas Bnei Ammon. I don't know if it's there today, but that's where it was. Okay, that's